Jubilee. What does this mean? And so I did a little bit of, had a little bit of research on this word, Jubilee. And this is what it said. Jubilee in the Bible, as commanded in Leviticus 25, was a special 50th year after seven cycles of sabbatical, 7, 7, 49. A time of ultimate social, economic, spiritual restoration of ancient Israel. During Jubilee, land was returned to the original owners, and obviously my ears pricked up when I saw this word land. Debts were cancelled. Who would like to have all their debts cancelled in 26? Debts were cancelled, and the enslaved Israelites were freed, reflecting God's sovereignty and His mercy, a concept that Jesus fulfilled spiritually as a year of the Lord's favor, a year of the Lord's favor. And we see this is also echoed in Isaiah 61, which talks about proclaiming the year of the Lord, Jubilee. And I want to put us tonight, as we get into what we're going to talk about, that we would consider positioning ourselves in 2026 to embrace a year of Jubilee, a year of favor of the Lord. And if Wilma Rare was in the house tonight, he probably would have said, why not? Why not? Why not us embrace a year of Jubilee in 2026? That's just disanarchies as a start. What I do want to talk about tonight is doing things God's way. Doing things the Lord's way. And this message has sparked something in my heart a little while ago. 2 weekends ago, we had an elders' weekend, an incredible time on a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday of incredible input. And then, as you know, at the gathering as well, a beautiful time of input. And there was one word, there was one person's name that came to fore, and that was Uzzah, that Mornay had spoken about. And what I want to do now, I'm going to just flight 2 Samuel 6, 1 to 6. Amado, if you could do that for us. I'm not going to read the whole of it, but I want to pick up on verse 6. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burnt against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died beside the ark of God. We know that the ark of God had been kept at Abinadab's house for over 20 years, and therefore, Uzzah would well have been aware of how the ark was to be kept and looked after. We know that it was to be transported on the shoulders of the priests. And we know that Uzzah, being a Levite, was never, ever, ever to touch the ark. That was after 20 years of being exposed to that, he possibly got a bit familiar with what God's intent was and his plan. So they decided to do, instead of God's way of transporting the ark on the shoulders of the priests, they decided to do it man's way. And that was to get a new cart and to put the ark on this new cart and have oxen draw it along the way. Yes, and as I said, possibly Uzzah, because of the familiarity of years and years and years. Abinadab, his father, had looked after the ark, and he was quite familiar of probably seeing it every day. And so he got quite familiar. And as he was walking along, as you know the story, he was walking along, walking next to the ark. The oxen stumbled, and he stretched out his hand to steady the ark because he felt it was going to fall. And the Lord took him out. The Lord wiped him out. Quite a harsh penalty for disobedience. I'm sure you'll agree. The second story that I do want to relate to is King Josiah. And we read about King Josiah in 2 Kings 22 to 23. And we're not going to flight those scriptures now, but I just want to talk about this King Josiah. He was a bit of an anomaly. He was the 16th king of Judah, and he started reigning Judah at the age of 8 years old. Now, for the parents in the house, maybe let's just push pause and think. For some of you that have children of 8 or 9 or 10 or 15, or to lead Judah at the age of 8, that was quite something. We see with this man, Josiah, this King Josiah, he was a model reformer, and he followed God's way. He did things the Lord's way. He initiated massive repair to the temple. He purged idol worship. He tore down the Asherah poles. He was relevant to the Lord. He was like a model king. And it was said of him, there was no other king like him. He did things, why? He did things God's way. He didn't cut corners. And you think, this is incredible. Age of 8, leading Judah. And then, in his early 30s, at about 33, he decides to get involved with the battle that the Lord told him not to. And maybe again, the familiarity and being this successful king over many, many years from the age of 8, he decides, I'm going to take this enemy out. I've done it before, done it many times. Maybe the familiarity and the arrogance of him saw him have an arrow go to his heart, and he died. Reckless, I would say. Reckless after serving the Lord and doing things God's way for such a period of time, and then suddenly stepping out and probably nobly thinking, man, I think I'm called to this fight. I think I can take this on. And yet, he dies. So two incredible stories of two people, Uzzah and Josiah, who did things God's way, and then when they changed the plan and they did it their way, it resulted in death. And maybe the lesson for us today, as we embrace 2026 as a year of jubilee, that we do things God's way, that we do not compromise on our walk, we do not compromise on doing things God's way, because failure in doing things God's way is inevitably going to end up in spiritual death, maybe even physical death for some. And just such a wonderful reminder, if we consider these two examples of how not to do it, how we are reminded that we have this incredible Word of God, and that we can follow His precepts and follow His ways and do things His way, do things according to the Word of God and according to the things that He's written for us. And that we, in 2026, it will be a year where we are found in the Word, that we are found eating the Word, devouring the Word. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak, if we'd only devour the Word and follow God's way of doing things, not man's way of doing things. May 2026 be a year where we are found in this incredible basic instruction before leaving earth, this Bible. It is a basic instruction before leaving earth, and we are to stick by it, the precepts of it. In this Word, we will see that there's so much beautiful instruction. If you don't know how to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There's instruction on how we should communicate with this Father God. We see in this Word as well that there is the Ten Commandments, and probably you guys could recite them all, possibly. The Ten Commandments. Not going to be a test. But when I started looking up, I realized that I couldn't recite all of them. But I'm going to mention three. Because that's what the Word of God tells us. There are certain precepts and certain laws for us to do it His way. Not our way, but His way. Thou shalt not kill. That's pretty straightforward. It's pretty one can understand that. Thou shalt not steal. No, but you know, I wasn't robbing the bank. I wasn't in the bank. I was just in the getaway car outside. So, no, you were part of the plan. You might have been in the getaway car. You might not have been in the bank. But you stole. Then it says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Maybe in the 2026, the terminology in 2026 will be, let's be economical on the truth. No. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I remember growing up, there was a guy, and funny enough, I still have contact with him today, some 50 years later. We still say hello, happy Christmas, happy birthday, happy Easter. That's the extent of our connection. But 50 years later, I still remember this family. They were quite religious. And they stayed in this home, and the lounge was this absolute pristine place. I actually, thinking back, I don't think anybody sat in that lounge. It was like a showpiece, beautiful carpets with like tassels on it, like serious wood, not plank, but like Imboya or Kiat or Stink, like proper wood furniture, that grandfather clock, massive grandfather clock. It was a showpiece. And then what it had as well, and I remember this, it had something like this. It had a lectern. It had a pulpit. And it was, and some of them nodding because you've probably seen some of this. This was also ornate wood, carved, beautiful. And then a Bible probably four times the size of this from Mealy Babel, this big Bible open. The problem was it was open, but it was never read. It was on display. And it was never read. If we're not going to pick up the Word of God, we might have it open on display. But if we're not going to pick up the Word of God, it's going to be pointless, pointless, pointless. I know some people have quipped and said, what is the best translation? Is it the NIV? Is it the ESV? Or is it NLT? Or is it the King? Whatever. And might I remind us again, it's the version of the Bible that we read, that we open up and we read, irrespective of whether it's your favorite, I'm not going to mention. But it's a word that we read. It's a word that we read. What I do want to remind us again is that when we walk according to God's word and walk according to His plans and His precepts and doing it God's way, we're going to experience the fruit of the Spirit. As it says in Galatians 5:22, and it says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Interestingly enough, it does not say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. And so maybe we would approach it like this. Give me a minute. By the way, it's citrus fruit, so it's obviously not from here, just saying. Citrus fruit in winter, this is summer. So, getting back to the fruit of the Spirit. So, if we looked at this word in Galatians 5:22, oh Lord, I do have love as you loved, Lord. I have the joy of the Lord. That is my strength. I have peace. Maybe that's a segment that I can't embrace. I don't have peace. Do I have patience? Do I have kindness? It's the kindness of God that will lead people to repentance and to lead people to Him. And when we show kindness to people, we're going to see them coming to Jesus. Do we have kindness? Do we have goodness? Do we have faithfulness? Do we have gentleness? Do we have self-control. Maybe I can't embrace that I've been, I battered my wife, I responded badly, or I didn't act appropriately, I didn't act in love. I reacted, I didn't respond. You see, the fruit of the Spirit encompasses all of that. It encompasses love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Last analogy. So when you look at a swimming pool, and a swimming pool looks sparkling and beautiful, you just got to go to Jan's house, see their pool. It's like seriously sparkling and bright. My pool, when I take the leaves off it, then it sparkles. But what I do is I see the sparkling pool and it looks wonderful. Then I have this little litmus test. I have this little testing kit that I put this little section into the water, pull it out, and it gives you total alkalinity, the pH, the two acid, two this, two that, two that. Now, when you're standing looking at the pool, this looks like a lekker pool. It seems like it's quite cool. But when you take a test and you take an acid test of it, you realize maybe the pH is not at 7.2. Maybe it doesn't have chlorine. It might look good. Within a day or two, that thing turns green. Almost like a test as we consider. And so what I want to do tonight, I want to, before I pray, I want to activate something tonight with all of us. And that would be looking at this Galatians scripture. And I'm going to read it out. I want us to bow our heads tonight. I'm going to bow our heads tonight. And I want to read through Galatians 22. And hopefully we didn't have to take any parts of the fruit. Forgive me for the analogy. I'm pushing the boundaries. I know that. But hopefully the picture, Stuart, will stick in our minds in terms of embracing the fruit of the Spirit, which includes all these things. So what I want to do tonight, I'm going to read through that, and then I'm going to ask us just to do a litmus test between you and the Lord. Between you and the Lord. And allow the Lord to bring an adjustment and an alignment if there are any elements of this Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. If we're lacking in love or joy or peace or patience or kindness or goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, that we just take it to the Lord, and in a minute we'll do that. Following that, I also want to create an opportunity to pray for those that have never made a commitment to the Lord. There'll be three scriptures I share. I'll ask for a response, and I would like people to respond to the gospel tonight. There's going to be an opportunity for that. So would you bow your heads with me now? Thank you, Father, for tonight. Thank you, God, that we want to be a church. We want to be a body that does things your way, according to your Bible, according to your precepts, Lord, according to you, your way, Father, not our way, but your way, Lord. And we do know that when we start walking in your way and we start aligning the things that are missing or things that are lacking, that we would align our lives tonight to see your kingdom come and to see your will be done. There will be a time just now to pray for those that have never committed their lives to Jesus, but for the now, we've heard about Uzzah and we've heard about Josiah on how not to do things. And we want to obviously do it God's way. And so even right now, as eyes are closed and heads are bowed, we call out to you, Father, where we look at Galatians and we look at 5:22, Lord, where we are lacking in terms of love or joy or peace or patience or kindness or goodness or faithfulness or gentleness or self-control. That we come before you tonight and say, Father, bring the alignment. Everything that is out of sync in our lives, we want to do things your way, Lord. We don't want to do things man's way. We are reminded tonight of Uzzah and Josiah who stopped doing things your way and ended in death. Help us tonight, Father, as we just commit our lives to you, that you would give us grace and the ability to make the change and the amendments to our walk with you, to have the fruit of the Spirit. And while eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I also want to remind us that when we read Scripture and that we do things God's way, we are reminded of God's plan for us. And I do want to pray now for anybody that has never committed their life to Jesus to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Jesus came to earth, died, and was raised from the dead so that we could be reconciled to the Father into eternity. And John 3:16 would remind us that God so loved the world that He gave His one and His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but will have ever eternal life. God's plan as well is declared in Romans 10 verse 9, which says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved today. The challenge is this. The Scripture, Matthew 10, 32, which says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge him before my Father one day. That's Jesus speaking. And so tonight, I want to ask in this house tonight, if there is somebody, and we're not going to prolong it, if there is somebody tonight that does not know Jesus, you've never made a commitment to Him, that you would do what the Scripture said. As Jesus says, if you acknowledge me before man, I will acknowledge you before the Father one day. If there's anybody in the house, just put up your hand now. If there's anybody that has never committed their life to Jesus, put up your hand now and we can pray for you. For the rest of us, Father, we thank you for the way that you are working in our lives. And we thank you that we've had a chance tonight to reflect on doing it your way, doing things your way, and reflect on the consequence of not doing things your way, as we saw with Uzzah and we saw with Josiah. Father, we want to ask that as we walk out this walk with you, God, that you would continue just to reveal yourself through your word to us, that this would not just be a book that is on display in that pristine lounge, but it would be a book that is devoured, and that we would take heart, not only read the word and hear the word, but that we'd embrace it and that we'd be faithful in doing what God has called us to do. Father, we glorify you. We thank you for tonight. Thank you for speaking to us through your word tonight. Before I hand over back to Marius, we just want to thank you for being part of this house, for being faithful servants who seek the Lord and to seek His ways. May we as a body of believers continue to do it God's way, not our way, not to cut corners, not to compromise, but to do it your way, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. Thank you, God. Bless your holy name.
Where's Mike? Can we maybe just get the worship team up just for one last song? I don't know if he's here. Thanks, Lee. You know, Lee was speaking about the Ark of the Covenant. It was the presence of the Lord. But you know, each and every one of us sitting here that's a believer that is raised our hand and given our life to Him, we're almost a mobile ark because we're carrying His presence inside of us. And we've got a responsibility of stewarding that thing. And I love the example of the fruit. It's our lives showing that fruit. Are we loving? You know, do we extend grace to others?